Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, September the 10th, 2013. And this is our 200 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere out near Saturn as a student visitor and returned with their flowing dialogue. And possibly Sharon is listening. Maybe we'll hear from Sharon today. Hello, Sharon, and hello, Michael.
Yeah, hello, Curtis.
Hello, welcome back again. And this is, I was just saying before we started that it's amazing to go 200 hours talking about this one subject. And said usually you can tell if someone doesn't know what they're talking about within the first 10 minutes, and sometimes it takes longer if people are running their tapes, but that's a lot of time. So that's quite an accomplishment, isn't it? It's just, I mean,
yeah, well, 200 hours, you know, a particular topic. This one is, of course, is very, very esoteric, if anything, you know. But it really stems for the fact that there is a architectural sphere orbiting Saturn named the New Jerusalem, or we can also call it the New Jerusalem, according to those that I was sitting with in the New Jerusalem when I asked the question, which was basically, what is this place? And they said, it's the New Jerusalem. Oh, we got a Jerusalem here on Earth. I mean, not here, but on Earth, you know. And yeah, that Jerusalem is pointing toward the same place as the New Jerusalem, which is the capital of this locality, this system, that local system that we're in, called Satania. And that's Satania. You mean, oh, that sounds like Satan. I think I might be in the wrong place. You know, it really kind of made me think, you know. And if it, you know, but anyway, it can't be. This can't be the wrong place. You know, because my desire was to prove God real and interactive with his creation, because to me, life's purpose is not about, you know, fulfilling one's own personal desires alone. There's got to be a higher purpose, and I just needed to find it. I just wanted to find it, and that's the reason I came to the New Jerusalem, because I was, I guess, in that modality. And I'd just like to talk about the New Jerusalem right now. And I'm glad that I could come out of hiding and be enlivened in terms of my memory. It's like reliving the entire event, which brought back real clear, crystal clear memories. And the New Jerusalem is a outpost, space station, if you're using our own terms, but an absolutely huge one. It is extremely large. And one in which the mystery, you know, biblically, the New Jerusalem is mentioned in the Holy Bible and kind of in the book of Revelation toward the end. And the idea of what goes on in the New Jerusalem, even those 144,000 who are taken to be with the celestial environment, to be with angels, to be with God, would remain and not return. However, the important factor that I was given insight on is that I was given an education only for a pre-rehearsal for the development of their full program for those who will go undergo the lift. This lift will be the same as the one at which I went, which is a type of Morancho lift. In other words, they're extra-dimensionally done. Yes, there is a blue beam involved. The blue beam does have extra-dimensional properties to shift our physical locked-in nature, locked-in time frame nature, so we can't just walk through walls. But once we shift extra-dimensionally or Morantially, then we are able to be just literally moved very easily and lifted, and anti-gravity and all of that kind of stuff is technology light years ahead of us. And it is technology. However, what is not technology is what I discovered in the New Jerusalem, is the divine worship there by the Shoduns, others who express service to the divine governance, the order of life, uplift also. And especially getting our planet ready for the adoption. Our planet is right now going through a terrible time, but a time when things go through change. Under pure stability, there isn't any need for change because things are stable. Things seem to be on the right track. But when you go through change, you have to place some tension on it. And the tension that we're going through is a planetary environment, a culture, a people, is one that is expected, but one that I was, I guess, pre-rehearsed to bring into the conscious minds of many of those who will join the higher training level at the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is a world which is, for a good part of it, designed as a high-level school. I didn't attend, I only attended the first grade, the beginning. And that's pretty neat because the first grade has got some pretty interesting things going on. Just the marker out there in front of the classroom was phenomenal to see that little plant or bush or whatever you are, the one that was described by in the Bible as, you know, on Mount Sinai, the bush that burned and wasn't consumed. That same, very same bush was in front there marking the front of the classroom. And it was so beautiful. I mean, it would react to you. You would actually interact with it, and it would respond in terms of your admiration of it. If you looked at it with eyes that appreciated its beauty, it would become even more beautiful, more wonderful radiances flowing through it, like living energy. It was considered a Morancho material, and one that is not found on our planet right now. But in any case, it marked the aspect of the first grade education, seven levels of education. So first one is one in which people will be introduced to. It seems to be, right now, it seems that our environment is such that there is a lift coming. And how individuals will be recognized for pre-qualification for that lift is very similar to what made me pre-qualified for the lift. Now, Riley Martin himself was a child at the time of his lift, but curiously enough, he had some interactions previously and wasn't implanted soul, you might say. But for myself, it was similar to the recognition spark that somehow engages their point of recognition or their point of alert or knowing. Let me go back and look at the Urantia book. The very first two human beings that were recognized with this spark of sentience, the ability to merge with and be able to contain the divinity fractal, the thought adjuster. Their names were Andon and Fanta in the Urantia book. Andon and Fanta. What it was not that celestials had prearranged them genetically and were watching them already. The entire planet was undergoing a kind of evolutionary uplift in hopes of developing this sentient being. And out of a particular level of human type being came forth this couple, or brother and sister, Andon and Fanta, who were the earliest humans to receive resonance with the divinity fractal, the thought adjuster. Now that mechanism that brought that sparked their recognition is the same tool that is used for recognizing who will be lifted and who will not be lifted. And the lift is not so much a rescue in some parts. This lift I'm going to be talking about is one in which has everything to do with experiential training relative to real interaction with celestials of both mortal orders, Urantia orders, and orders that are at the highest level of spiritual reality. That would be like a being of pure light. Now, it was interesting for me to see the interaction between all these different orders of sentient life working together in this one space station, this gigantic place. And the New Jerusalem, many of those who are being pre-prepared for the lift are going to receive a type of introduction. There will be some who will be relatively surprised, others who will expect the lift. And those of you who are listening to my discussion about it will understand and flow smoother in interaction, but it still will take you by surprise, I mean, in a sense, because it's a brand new experience with brand new sentient beings who are not human, are in some aspects, because of their appearance, kind of scary. And others are absolutely beautiful. And others are just, seems to be like a whole bunch of people. Now, because of the timetable that was exposed to me, and its relationship to the Harbinger comet Ison, which is basically going to tell the whole planet, heads up, there are things brewing right now in terms of our own workings, even human governments and all that workings, the concept of escalating war or bringing war, you know, to doing away with war through diplomacy. But in whatever way it works out, ultimately, the stress will have to come that will bring forth the dividing point between peoples. And I want to go back to my introduction and test in the recognition of seeing the Creator Son, recognizing Him for who He is, and then saying the wrong thing. Now, when I was taken, it was very much a similar space, such as which I met the Veranda Deck Most High observers. It's a real room. It's a real space. The difference was with the Veranda Deck Most Highs, their space was completely open. When I met Jesus Christ, the universe creator, Michael of Nebadon, the universe creator, Son, he came forth as if coming through purple curtains, drapes, very heavy drapes. And when he came forth, I recognized him not by his appearance, which was not very easy to look at because he sure looked beat up. He looked like somebody really wailed into him and beat him all around the head and body and everything. And then he called me by my name and asked me a question. And I immediately recognized that as soon as he talked to me, I recognized already who he was. He was Jesus Christ. But I said the wrong thing, which was, I would die for you. And at that point, you know, I didn't declare who he was. I just said those words first. And that's when he looked disappointed. And he turned around and was walking away. He showed me his back and he walked away. It's very disappointed that I had disappointed Jesus Christ by saying that I would give my life for him. Whatever, you know, this concept of self-sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ, that idea. Well, it wasn't that I wasn't sincere. It was because this particular statement has been so misused by the human race and caused so much confusion and caused so much strife and struggle, because there is only one universe creator, and he had come to a planet to help straighten it out, but not right away. You know, he planted the reality of his being and experienced being a mortal here, a mortal human being could actually live a human life from childhood to death. Well, when his disappointment was shown to me, it was nice that a voice came up from below and in back of me that asked the question, who was that? And then I just simply said, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And that at that point, he immediately turned about. His face was beautiful. all wounds were gone. His smile was bright. I could see his teeth. His eyes were wide open. And his hands were upraised. And he looked at me with bright eyes. Because it is recognizing that Christ and knowing that Christ that is so important, much more than the idea of self-sacrifice for, which could be for some political cause or some other thing that right now, you know, people are strapping bombs to themselves. They could be doing it for the glory of Allah. Allah is the same. It's the same God. It's just different names for the same. And the confusion of that whole thing caused so much disappointment in the Christ. Now that I understand that. But what separates that is that spark, that recognition spark of divinity that we recognize, or I recognized in seeing him, that brought this elation and great joy to his face and his whole countenance and his manner of being. And at that point, I remember him walking backwards through back through the veil, and that was it. My last image of him was with his face fully enlivened with, as if glowing with light, and a big smile, and hands upraised in his and walking backwards. This is the key. This is the definite recognition of who will be chosen to take the lift. They have a recognition of who that divinity fragment is, because they relate to that divinity fragment. Together with that divinity fragment, this fractal of God, to the point of recognizing that it is that same element. That's the key quality of a fractal. No matter how you look at it, no matter how small or big, it represents all the elements of the original. And that once it's placed within us, our relationship to that brings about that great reaction and recognition between even the celestials themselves, who will come forth with the lift command, the command to go and lift out a select group of readied individuals who will be taken to the New Jerusalem through Morancho extension, and then go through training and receive various levels of enlightenment, very similar in the first levels, much like what I describe in my basically the first grade experience, which moves you through experientially meeting all these different types and peoples, but in a way that is seeing them not as anything other than other people. And that's a really kind of a simple way of putting it, because that's exactly how I could put it, because they look different as people. And if we on Earth, who are definitely all human beings, get confused, the whole idea of being over there, it was amazing how all of that confusion or fear just simply melted away, was this disintegrated because of the enlivened energy and the operation of this current of the Holy Current, the Holy Spirit current that energizes that domain, and also brings about tremendous amount of retainment. An individual who goes there will not ever be the same. They will be elevated. And Curtis, this is like 200 hours already. Yeah, and as you say, if it was something that was purely a story alone, that's about it. I bring back no other connection then it would have been ended a long time ago. But the connection remains, and the truth and the time in which these stories need to be told, these lessons need to be told. And the invite is going to be out there, but I'm trying to give as many as possible a realization of how to attune their heart and mind toward the lift, because the choice is not, yeah, I'll go. Oh, no, I think I'll. It's really a choice that is pre-registered. And actually, you know, that is done on you on a personal level, inside of you on a personal level. And the first words I say, you know, the politically correct idea, I'll give my life for you, oh Lord. That was the rejection. The recognition was, I know you. I know who you are because you are my Lord, you are God, you are the very divinity that is already in me, working and teaching and counseling, and then going up to this higher readiness and engaging with the new task of enlivening. Because you see, there's no way in which these celestials can come over here and interface with the human race without it looking, even if it's done diplomatically, it will still look like an invasion. I can't find no way around it, except that individuals who have been pre-prepared and actually go and sit in heaven, it's a good way to say go to heaven, went to heaven, got training in the New Jerusalem, and come back with this, not only with knowledge, but with higher abilities and gifts. And some will come back with true Morontial development. In other words, that changeover from mortal to Morontial will be accomplished. In the normal progress, once that takes place, you do not come back to your home planet. But in this case, our planet has a way of the Creator Son switching things around according to his design, his way of doing things. And it apparently is moving toward that, where individuals who get pre-trained, get higher knowledge, get even Morontial abilities of, you know, many of this, what we would call psychic skills and supernatural abilities, will be brought back. And even some would even be nearly indestructible. But all would be those who will not be able to choose the second death, which would be one in which is of oblivion, becoming nothing, because they can never, that particular level of being will not be those who are chosen in this lift. This lift is for those who have already made that, and not only a choice, but are working with the divinity fragment within themselves at a higher level, and have attained the seven psychic circles. And these circles are very important. I think we got a whole series of teachings on those seven psychic circles, right, Curtis?
Yes, you spoke for the entire hour on each one of those circles. Mm. They were amazing. That was in the early 80 hours, mm-hmm. 81 or something.
Yeah. So when you move through there, you'll attain that point of being ready for that lift. And you won't be torn whether to stay on planet or to go. You are not be going like the Titanic is sinking. I need to jump in the life ship, the life raft. That's not it. This will not be for the rescue. You know, there's scripture in Bible which has led whole doctrine or segment of teaching concerning what would be considered the rapture, the catching away of the human race of selected what would be called saints. And this is what the Urantia book calls the salvable population. And that would be, of course, all of those who are just attuned. And they're going back to Andon and Fanta. Andon and Fanta were of higher intellectual ability, but they shared a lot of what their progenitors had, or those that their parents or their cousins or whatever had, a lot of characteristics that would make them look and seem to be the same. But what was extremely different between themselves, these first humans of sentience, was that they were able to accept and embody the divinity fractal. The others weren't. Is that the same case today? Apparently, it doesn't seem to be. It seems to be in a way where people have learned not to listen to the divinity voice, ignore it, or even be trained to get away from it. And these are done through divisive rituals. Some people say that some of these guys who were, you know, who went through these types of crazy cultish clubs and things like that, in certain ceremonies or certain different, I'm not trying to name these things, but they go through this type of training which brings about this a way to rebel against or to justify doing terrible things against the voice of the divinity fractal. So that spirit or that way of doing things that it's in our planet. It's definitely in our culture. It's definitely in people. So although a human race is all the components can be implanted. It's like it's not turned on, or it's got another switch was put in above that to allow a person not to submit to this divinity voice, this divinity fractal, the thought adjuster. So, those, of course, just will not be, you know, their switches are not turned on. And you know, the Christian term, you know, they're not saved, you know, so because they didn't turn on the switch, and many of them can, you know, fool themselves and not turn on the switch.
I like how you said, who goes there will never be the same.
Yeah, they cannot experience those things and be the same. Even, you know, when you look at the idea, okay, well, Moses was on top of the mountain receiving the laws, basically the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments were preceded already. They were, the Shaduns had come forward and give forth the Ten Commandments through other religions of the world, including like Buddhism, which is it's older than Christianity. Before was a time in which the planet was being softened for the arrival of the Creator's Son, but the planet, you know, even the Melchizedek idea, where when the Melchizedek came forth and stood with Abraham and developed a whole systematic schooling and everything, and he was embodied with a special type of human body. And I believe very strongly that he was of that order of human body type that had that tall head, but he wore a very tall type of headdress, which is still shown that very archaic Hebrew priest would wear this tall headdress. In other words, he was one of those who had the very tall conic head. But there were others besides him who also embodied that type of physical body. But these predecessors of Jesus Christ had already implanted the Ten Commandments. So Moses came up there, received Ten Commandments, but they were already given in other areas of the planet. And yet what he came back with was this time being in within the domain of the Esperanto and highly spiritual energies, that when he came down, he was just absolutely gray. You know, his hair had turned white, and I've seen myself where my hair turned white in certain areas, certain times. I've gone through times in which I think it was an Easter celebration, and I was bleeding from my wrists and my forehead. I didn't know I was until I started raising my hands and preaching to the group, and they told me, and they wiped the blood off of my wrists and my forehead, and I thought, oh, I must have scratched myself or something, and they told me it was stigmata or something. But it really happens. Things happen physically that can represent a very close alignment to divinity fragment. And this is something that can cause even my hair to grow white at the time. But this is for real. It really does happen. But much more than that was the progress that there's a lot of Moses is going to be developed here. A lot of people will receive that kind of level of interaction, sudden change, more than just coming back as being a mortal. You'll come back with a type of Morancho immortality, an assurance. And that changes the face of the planet. It changes the way, but it has to be softened through this buffer of pre-trained human, pre-prepared humans, making the way for the divinity adoption process, where Jesus Christ himself said, when you see these things coming upon your earth, which would be, you know, signs in the sun, moon, and stars, wars, tough times, economic times, all this stuff, seas raging, all kinds of tsunamis, all these things. We see this thing, look up, because redemption draws near. That idea of redemption, instead of using that term redemption, I've been using adoption, because it really amounts to that. We're really getting adopted, because we're foreign in a sense that we're not born out of the family of those people in the New Jerusalem. We're kind of like outside of that, but yet be adopted into this higher family. Because one of the characteristics I really feel is very strong about being in the New Jerusalem is this family, gigantic or large, extremely large family-like atmosphere. And much of that I got from my graduate guide. The term graduate guide, I was relieved. I was like, getting so many of these names verified by the Yurancha book. You know, I remember this particular name, the graduate guide, was my discussion with the guide was when he introduced himself as, and that he was a graduate guide. I said, graduated? You don't even look 10 years old. And he says, yeah. I'm much older than that. You know, and it's kind of high voice yet. And I said, are you older than me? Oh, yes, I'm much older than you are. But I said, graduate guy, where did you graduate from? But then I found that name, you know, description or category of service in the Yurancha book. So it's like, wow, that book. I really have a lot more faith in the book because it is more like a really good textbook of truth. Although it doesn't have the energy, the spiritual eloquence or poetry of the Holy Bible, it does tell you a lot about what goes on in terms of the operation of the universe governance and the universe itself. So those who are listening to this, realize this, that I'm trying to prepare as many to get ready in terms of heart and mind for that live. It's more than saying, oh, I just want to catch a cab and go on a ride and, you know, return. It may for many be a one-way trip. And believe it or not, the idea of a one-way trip is something that is a couple hundred thousand people have already volunteered for a one-way trip to Mars in a space program. And that's an amazing thing. So this is not going to Mars. This is going to the New Jerusalem. And get your heart in order. So that heart and mind adjustment toward the divinity fragment together with, emerging with, is one important thing, characteristic. By the way, there were those who did choose, who did come as humanoid-like teachers that chose to remain to teach until death, physical death, and being apart from the source of regeneration. So this planet is beautiful. It's well worth, much more worth, its extreme high value and beauty. But especially because of the fact that the Creator Son, Michael of Nevada, became, on his last bestowal, absolute mortal. And because of that, all truth reigns in the minds and hearts of those who realize that in the rest of the universe of his creation. So this is a little bit of the awakening that some of those out there are receiving. This awakening and pre-preparation is something to do with this heart alignment, this mental alignment, this spiritual alignment, this alignment toward the celestial environment. Yet people, like I said, you got ordinary thinking about going adventuring out on a one-way trip to Mars on a very slow drifting vessel over there. They have the capacity to take hundreds of thousands and thousands and thousands of people in their V-wing transport. They're much smaller vehicles that come around, and you know, they're capable of carrying a few people, but these big V-wings who have already come forth and made test flights here, and I believe even the Phoenix lights were a test flight. They've made several more and been spotted all over the place doing these test flights.
Yeah, a lot of people saw those lights in Phoenix, that big V-wing. The lights just kind of came on and flickered on and flickered off. I forget how long they were on.
Yeah, well, they were seeing not only lights, but the outline of this craft, which would darken the sky.
Oh, right.
It's, you know, they would look up and they could see an outline of a huge mile. It was even, you know, miles wide wingspan that was covering the sky. You know, it's like much like how the clouds would cover a sky. You kind of see the stars and then they disappear behind the clouds and then see the stars again. But this was described by some of those people as definitely having that V-wing or delta-like configuration. So these test flights that have come forth are for both sides, for the operators on the celestial side and also on our side as human beings, to kind of get used to the idea. But with Comet Ison, and you did take a look at Comet Ison's light source that has luminescence to it that ends up looking like three a center light and two wings on it. Yeah, so this is an interesting character. So, but more important was how it's tied together with Nella telling me, Onisewan telling me, at the time of which this should happen, these things will happen, will be close to an event that is very closely related to you. You'll never forget it. And it happened to be that my birthday is timed together with a solar eclipse, which is very near the time of this year's interaction with Comet Ison. So you've got to watch that. Not sure if the lift would take place in a one time element or it will be a sequential movement. I suspect a sequential movement because they are well capable of doing their things sequentially, close enough together, yet not all at once. Although biblically described that things would happen all at once. It's just using the words of those who, you know, wrote it down with their descriptors in there may not have had the accuracy needed to describe every factor. I am going beyond that in terms of describing the more important factors about essentially the readiness.
So this readiness, is this getting us ready for this Comet Ison?
Well, the Comet Ison, as I said, is a harbinger. So it's like a signal You better get your act together, put yourself in a place which is, according to harbingers in their behavior, there are different kinds of harbingers. Let's say in the royal procession, you'd have these trumpeters that come forward, and they would blow the trumpets, right?
Right.
You can imagine those trumpets. These are harbingers. They come forth as trumpeters, and they announce the fact that there is a arriving or coming soon will be this royal procession. The Hawaiians had a similar harbinger that came forth, and they blew the conch shells. And then they run forward, and they blow the conch shell, and it meant get away, get off the path, or recognize, get yourself in a posture that is right for the passage of this royal procession. In feudal Japan, the harbinger would do the similar thing. It would run forward. It'd be ahead of the procession, and the penalty for many of those who didn't, whether any of these cultural, whether it be the Hawaiian harbingers or one of European type, Western type, or one of Eastern or Asian, was death. Get yourself in the right posture, in terms of spiritual posture, respectful posture. And if you was a physical bow or place, a way of being, you had to have that posture and externally display it many times in terms of being in a prone position, bowing deeply, or whatever. So, what is in back of Aisan? Many talk about is, going to be dragging in and pushing forward a lot of what debris that kind of collected. And the model of what it could have collected would be a lot of rubble, apparently already passed through or will be passing through the asteroid belt. That's pretty good way of picking up debris. And if and I believe the static model, the static electric model, because the static electric model of accretion and influence of planetary development or much of how matter works in the universe is the concept of an electric interaction. And this is something that will also be giving us a good warning. So this warning is coming through this. So pay attention to it.
Wow, that's a lot said right there. This warning.
Yeah. So just pay attention. It'll set into motion some things that will help tilt the planet toward the change necessary.
So this is going to be a big deal, this comet coming through here, blasting through the astral belt before it gets here.
Couldn't very well. And all I'm trying to do is put it together, not so much in terms of psychic experience, but in terms of remembering the words of Nella and how it was going to be timed very closely with something that I would not have to worry about forgetting, and that was my birthday. And it would for some reason or another, this name Ayusan always was a very funny name. It's not the first time I've ever heard the name Ayusan, but it reminds me very much of having this veil over some of my memory at one time. And one of the things about it was that there is mountains beyond the Rondak Mountains. You heard about those? You know about those lakes, the Adirondack?
Oh, the Adirondack Mountains?
Yeah.
Yes.
So somebody was talking about coming from the Adirondack Mountain area, and I was like, it keyed on it, you know, because I was introduced to the Adirondacks. And I said, oh, aren't there people? Are there people? Those that Adirondack, are there people? You know, it was trying to sneak its way back out. The beyond the veil of, you know, the covering that they had placed on my memory. And he said, yeah, there are people from the Adirondacks. But then I kept thinking, there's something to do with that sound. And it was the Adirondacks. The Adirondacks and the Adirondacks. These high-level, you know. The Melchizedeks, of course, were. Melchizedek is in the Bible, but it's not strange. But Nananandex and the Varandadex are strange sounding. Mm-hmm. But that sound together, you know, was something keyed it. In a similar sense, Ayusan, when I first heard it, it keyed on something like that. Like, I know that name. You know, I know that name. It means much more than just, you know, this or that. And that was when I first met a person, the name was Ayusan, you know. And I said, that name means something more than their person's name. Well, when I heard it was the comet, and knowing very well that it's the harbinger, I said, aha, this is one of the ones that was veiled and only to come out at the right time. So, anyway, this. Remember it as a harbinger. It's not a destroyer. It's warning of getting ready because there's a lot of tough times ahead.
Well, we'll get ourselves in the right posture.
Yeah. And if you are chosen for the lift, don't turn back. There's just no way. You just go one way.
All right, well, we will all keep that in mind for sure. That's coming up a few months, a couple months.
Well, that's just, yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I don't know when the lift is. I really don't. Mm-hmm. But I do know that we know when, you know, Comet Ayusan's going to interact, and it seems to be having peculiar characteristics.
But a few times you sounded like the lift could be in 1,000 years.
Oh, no. I said that it would precede 1,000 years. Because that lift would, like I say, usher in 1,000-year transitional period of great peace and enlightenment. But it takes place progressively, and one in which celestial influence would be much more direct. Mm. And what I mean by much more direct, taking even a huge group of human beings to get high training in celestial governance and methodologies. You wouldn't have to worry. One of the things I got from being with the high teacher, the Dano, was that when it comes down to technology, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. You know, coming down with free energy and all that. No, it's not a big deal. The people, there's their alignment to the divinity fragment, the recognizing Jesus Christ in them, that is the big deal. The divinity fragment, the universe governance, the holographic governance through this divinity fractal, the implanted agent. That's why there's some times in which things will be approached on a political sense and or a alignment sense, since it's becoming, you know, like some high religious character would say, oh, how come I get only this? And then they just the idea was placed forward to those who will be making choices, and how to establish the new governance planetary wide, and they will end up becoming like. I don't really know you. You know, I can't put you in any of these places because you may have been something in that organization, but that's not what we're organizing. We're not organizing another, you know, let's say super church or something, or a super religion. No, this is true religion. It's rejoining and adoption. The religion, you are being in legion. Yeah.
Well, I could read this letter that we recently received a couple of days ago. The subject, happy 200th hour. Dear Curtis and Michael, wow, you guys have reached a great milestone. 200 hours of great talks together. I must thank you both sincerely. I consider Michael my teacher, and you, Curtis, my big brother. I found you guys last September and heard all the sessions. The Urantia book talks of the faraway mansion worlds, but your stories of the New Jerusalem near Saturn has brought the Urantia book to life for us. You showed us how close they are to us and how loving they are. The Sharons, the Danel, the pillars of light that reside there to help us, they are only a thought away. You've shared great stories with us about Tan and Nella, what a great team they are. And most importantly, you've taught us about the fractal, the holographic governance of God from within. Thank you, gentlemen. You are a blessing to thousands of us on this planet. Keep up the great work. John from Columbia, Maryland. Thank you, John, so much for sending that. That was a dear note. It means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is been a long teaching session, and I believe we'll just continue, right? Just continue next Tuesday.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Aloha, Michael.
Aloha.